Well, greetings, fine gentlemen. A happy Monday to you. I hope you all had a weekend to remember. I've done a pretty good job of curating my Twitter to a point where it's just based chads, absolutely being biblically based. It's uplifting, gives a positive vision. It's encouraging. Oftentimes, a lot of good chat and discussion around books that they have read that I just haven't read. And so I feel cleverer for it. A lot of galaxy brains that I get to follow and just be like, okay, all right. But every so often, you get the absolute mind rot of popular culture seeping into the timeline. Now, obviously, you know, some news events are pretty enjoyable. You know, so for instance, the whole war thing, we were all like, oh, sweet, we're going to see dash cam footage. I mean, Russia are like the number one dash cam footage nation on earth. We were waiting for sweet dash cam footage, and it just never came out. So I feel like that's kind of died down. But anyway, so today the whole, everyone's like, oh, the Oscars and this guy slapped this guy, blah, blah. And I was just like, ugh. So I immediately knew I was going to have a tough day on the timeline. And I think I kind of spiral into despair and nihilism whenever people, you know, get too much into popular celebrity culture and discussing celebrityness and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, God, you know, so I needed a positive vision. I needed to get back to no despair, no nihilism, no victimhood to the pop culture, which is all around us and trying to drown us. And so I really wanted to just, you know, chat about that today. We can get so sucked in to the news. And if we ourselves are not watching the news, you know, I myself am not watching Ben Shapiro every day and tuning in to, you know, Steven Crowder and all of the whoever else, you know, name your conservative news outrage source, despair source, nihilism source. You know, I'm not tuned into the news. I don't watch the news. I don't follow. I'm trying to think of like the most mainstream person I follow. I'll have to come back on that one. Jeff, welcome, fine sir. RJJ, Copperstar, Brian, Alan, good evening and welcome, fine gentlemen. Feanor. Well, Feanor, do we have a good report? Alan, I burned a ditch and some of my beard this weekend. Well. You know, what is life if you're not living on the edge of the flame, as it were? This is pleasing. Jeff, dashcam videos. Best Russian export besides vodka. I mean, you've hit it on the head, fine sir, really. Feanor went from laughing and bashing the Amish due to degenerate media brainwashing to realizing they are right about everything. And wishing I were one. Many such cases, fine sir. Many such cases. Copperstar, Oscar, so Baltimore. Yes. What is up with Baltimore? I hear it's a diverse and progressive, boundaryless metropolis of global glory, perhaps. I don't know. So, Feanor, do we have good news about dates and things? Was that this weekend? I hope it was. Well, all news is good news. Any news is good news. Whether it was good or bad, it's good. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Archangelus, welcome, fine sir. So, you know, I got to this place this morning after repenting of my despair and nihilism and my downward doom loop into despair. I got back to the place of like, you know, at the end of the day, like, what are we doing? What's the positive vision? And you look at the Amish, exactly what you said there, Feanor. You know, when you're absolutely not concerned about a hostile culture because that's not your people, that's not your, you know, they are not psyoped. We are psyoped. We think that the celebrities are our celebrities. We think that the news programs are our news programs. We think that the government bureaucracies and departments are our government bureaucracies and departments. And all of that kind of stuff takes a heavy toll on you because you're carrying, you know, us white boys carry a lot of responsibility for what is ours, you know? So, oh, he's my president. Okay, take responsibility. Oh, it's my police force. It's my ethnic minority violent group. It's my news. It's my celebrity stuff. And you start carrying all this because, like, it's my nation. It's my country. Like, America is breaking and it's on me. And we take a lot of responsibility for things that aren't ours. You know, the old Amish patriarchs, you know, are absolutely, you know, they've got other problems. They've got their own stresses and their own things that they're responsible for and that keep them up at night. But the news isn't one of them. Politics isn't one of them. Ethnic minority cultures isn't one of them. You know, they are wholly concerned about their people and they have a definition of who their people are. They know who their in-group is, friend-enemy distinction. They know who their friends are. They know who their enemies are. They know who their group is. And so this is our problem. We do not have a vision. Us Anglo-speaking, you know, white boys of the Anglosphere, we don't know who our people are. We don't know. You know, America has been so, not just America. You know, I look at South Africa, Australia, Canada, Great Britain itself. Name your Anglosphere country. We have been so deracinated, denationalized. You know, you have immigrants from every which where, or at least you know, you look at South Africa where it's a captive economic zone that's captured 15 different cultures, tribes within it. And, you know, us little white boys, us little liberal white boys, we're like, everyone's a South African. I'm a South African. You know, here in America, everyone's an American. And even worse with the liberals in America, you know, the case for 1 billion Americans. You know, it's like everyone in the world is an American. They just haven't got here yet. And so when you have that kind of mindset that you're like literally brainwashed with from birth and then every day, we have a struggle and inability to understand that, like, hey, wait a tick, all this crap going out in the world, all these clowns, all these absolute weirdo, toxic mess up clowns, they're not my guys. And when you realize that it's not your clowns, not your circus, you're like, oh, I actually feel pretty good. Like, life's actually pretty great. You know, that's what I, this morning for me, I'm like, you know, going through the timeline and you're like, ah, and you're like, no, not my time, you know, not my tweets, not on my timeline. Like, get out of here. You stop clowning around on my timeline. You know, life gets really great when you're like, I can differentiate between what is my people, my tribe, my place, my world. And what is not my world? What is not my people? What is not my tribe? What is not my place? And is it a panacea? You know, is it going to solve all of our problems? No, of course not. You know, because that's the first kind of rebuttal that so many people, when you talk about nationalism and how nationalism will solve 99 problems. And they're like, yeah, but there's still going to be problems. It's like, of course there's going to be problems. But now they're my problems. You know, now I can solve my problems. I don't want to solve ethnic minorities' problems. I don't want to solve celebrity globalist, rootless, cosmopolitan problems. I don't want to solve wars in other countries' problems. I want to solve my people's problems. And so, you know, we kind of have to go there in our minds. You know, the whole thing of secede in your mind, you know, repeal the 19th Amendment in your heart. We have to go there first. We have to have a positive vision first. Every invention is preceded by a vision. You know, the guy who invented the aeroplane had to have a vision of himself somehow flying against the laws of physics or harnessing the laws of physics to make himself fly like the birds of creation. His own father preached against it. His own father preached how terrible and men are never meant to, you know, go beyond their bounds of walking at 1 mile an hour, you know. And the based Wright brothers were like, no, we've got a positive vision. We've got a positive vision. We want to fly. We want to suspend ourselves above the earth using the laws of physics that we have not yet discovered. So we don't really know how we're going to get there, but we will work our way there. They had a positive vision. And so it is with us culturally, with us nationally, tribally, whatever you want to kind of tag this with. We have to have a vision for our own people and place before we will ever get there. And that's when so many people come in and your own people in authority over you say this is not possible. It'll never be possible to have your own people, your own place. It'll never be possible to live in peace. It'll never be possible for your children's children to have their own sovereign culture. It'll never be possible to be free of usury. It'll never be possible to be free of forced diversity. It'll never be possible, you know, all of these things. And it's like, that's fine. Carry on preaching. But we're going to carry on working. We're going to carry on holding a positive vision for the peace and prosperity of our people, for the peace and prosperity of our children's children, and for them to fear the Lord. We'll hold that vision. And we don't know how we're going to make it happen. We don't have all the answers. We just know that we have a vision. And so with God's help, we are going to set our face toward that vision, and that's where we're going to go. And that's what the Amish have done. The Amish have a vision for who they are going to be, for who their children's children are going to be. And so that's what they focus on. That's what they work on. And it helps that they have a uniform, that they speak a different language, you know, that they have a few little social laws that make sure their tribe sticks together. And so for us, I think it's just really important, you know, every time we drink from the well of public publicity and celebrity and opinion and news and analysis, we are drinking a vision of negativity, a negative vision, a poisoned well, if you will. You know, because even all these mainstream conservative talking heads and media things and stuff, it's like their whole role is to get you to outrage. Their whole role is to get you to waste your energy on a negative vision. America no longer exists. You know, it's a sad realization, right? I'm going to read you a little bit of chapter 2 of de Tocqueville, but where he starts talking about the genesis of America is that there was a stepping off point from the old nation, right? England, the empire was ascendant. You know, the English empire was going hard, but there were people within the empire who were like, we don't like this culture. We don't like where this is going for our people. We will separate ourselves from this culture. And so for them, because they kept the language, it meant going to a different geography, going to a different place. We have to see that about the American empire. You know, you are not betraying your people. You are not being a traitorous, unpatriotic bastard for acknowledging that the American empire has been co-opted by a cabal of its enemies. You know, there's that classic sociological law. I can't remember the guy to attribute his name to it, but he's like, the way to understand any bureaucracy or any organization after a certain amount of time is to assume that it is controlled by a cabal of its enemies. You know, and it's like, no way. You know, like any bureaucracy, any big, large organization, the reason they are so, you know, when it gets to a point of ineptitude, of corruption, of breakdown, of degeneracy, just assume that it's been taken over by a cabal of its enemies. And that is the way for the American infrastructure, not the American people, the American infrastructure, of empire. Of, you know, the federal bureaucracy and the crown and the sword, you know. And so what are we to do? The first thing is to friend enemy. The first thing is to figure out, like, who are my people? Who are my guys? Who are my people? And what is our vision? Where are we going to? Because if the vision is nihilism, which is the current operating system, if the vision is nihilism, then it's like, well, okay, just surrender, just give up. Suicide, right? On a social tribal level. You know, the another vision is just individualism. Well, libertarianism, every man for himself, right? I'm going to just get as much pleasure and hedonism out of this as I can before it all goes down. Another vision is capitulation to empire and globalism of like, well, I'm just going to become a collaborator. I'm just going to join, you know, if you can't beat him, join him. And go become a rootless cosmopolitan who shills for empire and globalism. But for us, it's like, no, we're going to have a positive vision for our people, you know. And right now, it's like, who are my people? And it's like, obviously, you can, you know, kind of have a big tent thing of like, well, you know, we're white Protestant, whatever your Anglosphere country is, you know, South Africa, America, Canada, whatever you are, wherever you are. Very broadly, our people are this white Protestant remnant, you know, of people who are not ashamed to be white, of people who are not ashamed to be Protestant. And to an extent, you know, we're like, okay, there's kind of a people group there. To an extent, you know, you then start asking, okay, like, who are those people in my local area? You know, in my local area, am I part of a distinguishable people group? You know, if you go to an Amish area, it's not just an Amish family. It's like, oh yeah, my name is Jacob. My name is Jacob. What the heck's an Amish accent? My name is Jacob. I moved here from Florida or from California. It's like, you know, there is no transience and rootlessness of the Amish. Like, some Amish guy has just moved into town. It's like, no, he knows who his people are. He's like, he goes to church, and he's connected with all those people, his business and who he interacts with there, where he lives, his family, who he's married into. There is no such thing as an atomized Amish man. You know, every Amish man is connected. And likewise, we need to get back to that place, which is the first focus of our positive vision, which is patriarchal family. You know, we have to start realizing again, who is my family? Even if you don't get along well with them, even if you don't have great, you know, huge, big family networks and stuff, at least just start realizing that family comes first, you know? And so you want to pray and be diligent with your in-laws, with your extended family. You want to create a family, God willing, have as many children as you can, praise God. And then, you know, you want to also be very diligent with your neighbors. Local economy is the next the next positive vision for us, is focusing on your local economy. Who is your neighbor? You know, does your neighbor kind of look like you? Does your neighbor kind of share similar values? It's like, could we be tribe? You know, would our children marry each other? You know, are we going to be supporting each other's businesses and safety? You know, we want safety locally, you know? So it's like, that's why multicultural areas don't work. Diversity in proximity equals mistrust, distrust, war. You know, when you look at like any place that's kind of third world hellhole like South Africa, you know, you very quickly, your neighbors who look like you, you're like, okay, we're going to band up. We're going to build a fence around our community. We're going to have a neighborhood watch. And, you know, it's like that in America, wherever there's diversity, you get gangs, you get enclavism, you know, to protect your values and your culture and your children so that they don't have to be abused by the popular culture or the rival cultures in your area. Local economy is very important. You know, why do people have to move away from where they grew up? It's because the economy is not good. You know, you want to build an economy so that your children can stay and so that you can attract your people, the people that you want, can prosper. You know, and then thirdly is tribal institutions. What is a positive vision? You know, and you look at the Jews with the ADL and all their other, you know, open society and all their other NGOs and stuff, like, they're phenomenal at institution building. You look at all their media organizations, you look at their banking organizations, you look at their, you know, they're just phenomenal at building institutions for the interests of their people, to serve the interests of their people. It's friend enemy. It's like, who are our guys? We will serve your interests. Who are not our guys? We're going to attack you if you attack us, if you don't serve us. What a great vision. What a great positive vision, you know? And so when you get into this place of realizing that there's so much that I can do to have a positive vision. And that's when people come in and mock, you know, and they're like, oh, the Amish are a bunch of absolute backward hick Luddites. You know, they're never going anywhere. It's like, chap, you know, that they have so much better lives than most of it. You know, none of them have nihilism and individualism problems. They don't have, you know, 40-year-old woman on antidepressants as their next demographic cliff. They aren't sending their kids off for gender reassignment surgery. You know, like they are living a very good culture. They understand who they are. They understand what their vision is, where they're going towards. And they don't care about the news. They don't care about any, you know, rumors of wars and petrol prices and celebrity fights and blah, blah, blah. Like, they don't care because they're building their positive vision. You know, and so many Christians get derailed on this because, you know, a huge part of a positive vision is the local economy. You know, you want to go crush, you want to go buy property, you want to be absolutely crushing in your domain. Whatever your work is, go work it as unto the Lord. You know, if you're working for some hostile big corporation, plunder them as if they were Egypt. You know, your paycheck every month, use it to build your patriarchal family, use it to build your local economy, use it to build your tribal institutions. And then of course you can withstand, you know, any crap that goes down there and all the clowns and NPCs that are happening there. Cause it's like, I'm plundering you guys. You know, I'm the gray man plundering you guys. And if you do get fired or you do get pushed out or, you know, there's whatever, it's like you've built your family network, you've built your local economy, you've built your tribal institutions. And you know, we should be taking our guys into the next season. You know, if our guys are struggling, it's like, how can we set up our guys? You know, if your business is growing like crazy and you need help, first your family, you try to get all your family involved, then your local neighbors and stuff, guys that you like, bring them in. And just like tribal guys who are struggling, it's like, hey, you're my guy. I'll bring you in. You know, we need to start thinking tribally. But economy is the huge part that a lot of the church don't understand, because they, you know, a lot of the ministry boys, a lot of the priestly boys, you know, have never done life outside of the priestly domain. You know, it's probably like after school, straight into seminary, where they, you know, live in poverty, and then they get a ministry job. So, you know, anyone who's not in ministry is second class or is dirty. You know, outside of the church walls is dirty work. And it's like, no, it's all unto the Lord. It's all unto the Lord. Not everyone's meant to be a priest. You know, the Levites were only 1/12 of Israel, the tribes of Israel. You know, only 8% of dudes are going to be priestly boys. The rest of us are all out here in the different domains getting our hands dirty as unto the Lord, you know, and praise God for it. And praise God for the priestly boys. God bless them. We just have to understand to honor each other's gifts, you know. And for so long, it's only been one way honor. You know, everyone else has honored the priestly boys, and the priestly boys haven't always honored the chaps in the other domains, you know. And now it's coming to a place where civilization rests on all of these chaps in the other domains. You know, are we going to crash as unto the Lord? Are we going to, because what is civilization? You cannot build civilization for all. You know, it's like, you cannot be like, oh, you know, the liberal dream of like the whole world is America. And it's like, no, you can only do it for your family. The Amish, believe it or not, are a highly advanced civilization for their people. They have peace and prosperity for their people, for their progeny. Their children and their grandchildren are going to be more Amish than they are. That is civilization. You can only build civilization for your people, for who you have authority over. You know, we want, you know, the whole, it's like this in South Africa, right? Where it's third world African chaos, but there's little bubbles of civilization where civilized people are creating and hosting civilization for their people. And you have to gatekeep it heavily. You have to guard it heavily from those who are not civilized, from those who do not honor your in-group, who do not honor your civilization, who do not honor your family, your local area, your tribe. You have to gatekeep them. You cannot drag an unwilling people into civilization. You know, that's what we've seen with America. It was civilization. It was heaven on earth, right? It was the most advanced society to ever grace this fine earth. And so, of course, what happens is the whole world wants to come here. And it's like, that's fine. But if you don't honor the people and you don't assimilate, then you're not going to, you can't just come and eat from the tree without watering the roots. And they just come and eat the fruit, but they can't, and they chop down the tree and burn it for firewood. You know, and now there's no civilization in America anymore. There's bubbles of civilization. You know, but you look at Detroit, destroyed. You look at Baltimore, destroyed. You look at New York City, destroyed. You look at California. California, geographic, like landscape, was literal heaven on earth, destroyed. It is people that steward an environment. It is people that create heaven or hell on earth. And so you have to gatekeep the people who create hell out of your family, out of your local economy, out of your tribal institutions. Scotch Cuban, it's so freeing to know they aren't ours. Praise God. And that's it. What do you do with people who aren't yours, who are acting up? It's like, gatekeep. Do they have access to my family? No. Do they have access to my local economy? No. Do they have access to my tribal institutions? No. And it's like, then I'm free. I'm happy. I don't have to worry about all of this stuff. Now, if they do have access to my family or my economy or my tribal institutions, then I worry about how to get them out. That's what I focus on. I don't outrage. I don't fold. I don't complain. I don't deny and ignore. I work. You know, patriarchs work for their people. Fionor, I had to postpone the date due to a big move on my part. but had a video call which basically ended on us agreeing that preservation of culture and religion is a parent's duty, based so far. Well, 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 sir. Very good. Andrew, welcome, Fanse. Let's go. White student, welcome, Fanse. The rootless international globalists told the rest of the world to go identity shopping with the aim of erasing all national and cultural identities and erasing our people in the process. Yeah, you know, that's exactly it. It's like, what is the one, what is, you know, economy lives to serve, the local economy serves the people. It serves the family. It serves the neighbors. It serves the tribe. We do not serve the economy. We do not live for the free market and, oh, free market overall, Ben Shapiro be upon it. You know, like, screw big line go up. Screw the GDP. Screw capitalism. You know, right now, with BlackRock buying up all these properties, you know, with big business pumping in migrants at, you know, however many hundreds of thousands a month, with the outsourcing of industry to other nations, they are hurting. You know, the big line goes up. Oh, the big line goes up. Let me tell you, the big line goes up. And the free market is being oiled. But you know who hurts is the native population. You can't afford housing. Your wages are halved. And your industry, your employment-creating industry has gone to other nations so that other nations' men may have jobs and buy houses and afford to raise families. And so at the end of the day, economy must serve your people. The economy must serve your family, your local area, your tribe. And so how do you destroy, you know, how do you destroy the barriers to having total usurious control over an economy? How do you make an area an economic zone? You destroy nationhood. How do you destroy nationhood? Destroy tribes, destroy local areas, destroy patriarchs, destroy families. And then you can have full economic access. You know, if you have some really strong patriarch who's got a bunch of daughters and, you know, you want to go enslave his daughters, you have to go through him first. And that's exactly the parallel to our economy. Is like every usurious big corporate on earth wants access to our people. And so they have to go through nationalism first. You know, they have to break protectionism. They have to break contentment. They have to break morality in order to just have rampant degenerate consumerism and indebtedness. James, welcome, fine sir. The notion that you could create and sustain a nation bound only by an artificially sustained level of comfort is an absurdity we're now finally realizing in any now. And praise God that we're realizing it, you know. It's exactly that. Like, what in the past were the binding conditions of a people group, of a tribe, of a nation? You know, language, heritage, blood, you know, intermarriage over an ethnic group, a geographic location, you know, religion, morality. You know, you look at any religious kind of apologetics tactics, it deals with four things: origin, meaning, morality, destiny. You have to have those as a shared common thing. And exactly this, we've replaced it with comfort. The economic zone, what keeps us together as Americans? Well, access to the economic zone, the American dream. Fionor, the Oscars enjoyed the daily Johannesburg experience. Alan, horse-drawn carriages and airships will be the only modes of conveyance in the ethnostate. Very impressive. what do they call that genre? Steampunk. This will be airship buggy punk. I think the Hindenburg disaster was an absolute the Rockefellers and the oil. Because apparently, like, airship travel was going to revolutionize everything, and then I don't know, there was some stuff there. But that's an interesting thing to look into: is airships and how the destruction of the Hindenburg kind of like canned what was a very promising thing and can still be promising. James, religion, ethnicity, geography, language, etc. The more you share of these, the better your chances. Yeah, praise God. Cop star, I heard a uniform. I approve. Do you know that in England, political uniforms are actually banned, believe it or not, because of old Moe's dog? Very impressive. Even if you all had to wear Adidas tracksuits or something, banned. Thankfully, we don't live in England. JJ, your outer world is a reflection or projection of your inner world. People concern themselves with overpopulation or pollution on the macro level, instead of concerning themselves with their own inheritance building and cleanliness on the micro level. Exactly that, brother. It's controlling what you can control. You know, and you see that with what is the news, but a constant uplifting to the conceptual and the uncontrollable. You know, oh, Washington, D.C., and oh, Russia, and oh, China, and Israel, and California. And it's like, I live in Indiana. You know, it's like, focus on where you're at. Focus on where you're at. Fionor, the beginning of the end of America came when they abandoned their policy of isolationism. Yeah. You know, and that's exactly it for, you know, you look at any, your family needs to, in a way, be isolationist. Your local economy, in a way, needs to be isolationist. Your tribal institutions need to, in a way, be isolationist. In the sense that everything we do in those institutions is to serve insular, is to serve our group, our in-group, friend, enemy. And you can help other people. You can bless other people, but don't take authority for them. You don't go and take over your neighbor's house because they're not doing it well. You don't go and take over your neighbor's family because they're not doing it well. You know, it's an overstepping of authorities. It's an overstepping of boundaries. Now you can help, you can offer help, but not, you know, it's that whole thing from that great book, Boundaries. You don't carry someone's responsibilities. That's theirs to carry. You should in fact shame and discipline people into carrying their responsibilities. You can help them with their burdens. So everyone has a backpack called responsibilities. Everyone has a rock called burden. Everyone has a burden that they're carrying. It's okay to help people and from out from under their burdens, but you don't take the burden on for yourself. And it's okay, like if someone's struggling, to help them with their backpack for a little bit, but only until they sort out their burden. Everyone must carry their own backpack, and we can help each other with our burdens. You know, this whole thing of like taking everyone else's backpacks, you know, the whole thing of refugee crises and all this kind of stuff, it's on a national level taking other people's responsibilities. You know, men need to sort out their own crap. You know, it's like this whole thing of putting money and putting weapons and into other people's business. It's like you're constantly meddling with other people's responsibilities, you know? And so that's where you just come back and you're like, no, chaps, like we'll help people with burdens. Like, oh, there's a flood in that country. And you're like, that's when all your people get together and you go and help, you know, wonderful, wonderful. But part of like boundary setting and wars and natural resources, you know, disputes and all stuff is like, you're pushing on other people's responsibilities. They need to sort out their own crap, you know? I mean, we're talking now as if everyone was nations and there weren't any, you know, empire, globalist control and all this stuff. So this is a whole rabbit hole, but exactly that. You know, we want to, what is the micro level of our authority and go up from there, not starting with these conceptual huge things. Copper Star, the beginning of the end of America was Lincoln becoming president. I was going to out beginning of the end of America, you, but that's a pretty good one. Alan, Steve King was right in saying we cannot restore our civilization with other people's babies, but it's also true that we can't restore it with other people's banks and currency. Praise God. Exactly. You know, because what is the whole thing of blood and soil? You know, every nation is a people group on a geographic place. Other people's babies, it's another people group. It's, you know, exactly that. And then when it comes to banks and currency, you're talking about a place. Production of value is from a place, you know. It's exactly that. You have to have sovereignty of your people and place in order to have civilization of any sort. Drongo, school teacher, how will Maldives be safe from problem of global warming? How will Brazilian gays be safe from problem of macho man bigotry? How will Africans get over the problem of colonialism? Oh, this is wonderful. I can see many great essays if we knew what we knew now back in high school. It would have been some great essay topics. Drongo, write an essay about their problems and be concerned about their problems. Not my problem. Not my people. Not my problem. Fionor, anyone know where a man can get a copy of Jared Taylor's white identity? Hello. Andrew, atoms, not bits. Sir, I'm an ADIQ. Please explain this to me. Why student, my people are the ones who are not called diverse. Many, many such slurs. Fionor, teaching has become so satanic. Just in the last half decade, Globo Homo on full display in every class, book, playground. Homeschooling is a no-brainer. Yeah, you know, and it's that whole thing with institutional worship. You know, we are now in a total liberal worship world, you know. So I was actually chatting with one of my brother-in-laws the other day, and he was saying how he saw the new Batman movie, and he's like, I was actually quite impressed. I was waiting for the obligatory woke shout out in the movie, you know, because it's like movies don't get passed nowadays if there isn't like some strong woman or like black hero or white demon, you know. And he's like, yeah, so I found it, and then went on with it. A pretty good movie otherwise. I was just laughing. But it's because it's like we're at that place now where like to make good art, you have to kowtow to the idol. You know, you have to say God be praised before any institutional thing. And it's exactly like once you understand that, you're like, oh, yeah, not my people, not my religion. And so I know that I now have to make my own institutions, you know. And so like homeschooling, that's the easiest, make my own institution. Fear not, ADL is not friend. I don't know. If you can get me a yarmulke, maybe I'll get some of that sweet. No, they'll never give me that sweet money, that sweet shekel. Copper Star, I've always wanted to meet the Amish, but I fear even I'm too modern to use such a meeting properly. Just you're in like the desert. I don't think the Amish are in the desert. I was going to say, go to your local farmer's market. You'll have to come up here and visit, and then I will take you to said local farmer's market, and you can go and greet them. Hello. I don't know, man. The Amish probably mock me. That stupid English. Andrew, welcome, brother. Drongo, television. How will Kardashian deal with her problem? Drama and nonsense. Be concerned with this, woman of the world. Fear no, presently the Afrikaners are coming up with solutions for all of the West. Yeah, it's just that South Africa is 30, 40 years ahead, you know, of the rest of the Anglosphere. They have a huge step up on the rest of us English-speaking boys because they have their own language. They have their own history. They're very much more tribal than us English boys. You know, of course, they have liberalism. They have cosmopolitan population of Afrikaners who are soy boys and everything. But at least they have the language part and the history part. Whereas us English, we're so liberalized, you know, that it's like some Somali guy who, you know, says he's American. We're like, oh yes, he's just as American as me. And it's like, eh. But yes, we will copy the Afrikaners. They're doing a great job. Scott Cuban, gatekeep the people who create hell out of your tribal institutions. Money quote. Thank you. Drongo, how will Arsenal reduce Chelsea lead with only 15 minutes left? Be concerned with this, man of the world. Many such cases. Drongo, media. What will Ukraine do? Ukraine is big problem. Care about their problem. They are victims of this concerning problem. Yeah, exactly. That's all that the media is. And that's all that conservative media is. Conservative media is just like, it is the biggest psyop. Like, and half of them, I think, are such NPCs that they believe they're doing a great job. You know, I think half the conservative pundits believe that they are fighting liberalism. And the other half are like literally maliciously want the destruction of Christian civilization. RJJ, they chop down their tree for firewood, and then you white people with your leafy suburbs. It's true. And you have to inherit trees, you know, and that's why there's such a huge thing on why inheritance is evil and you have privilege. And it's like, yeah, yeah, I do. And it's not evil. And I'm very appreciative. And I'm going to leave my children an even bigger inheritance. They're going to be even more privileged. Why student? Perpetual destabilization and conflict. That's the real reason they instituted a forced diversity policy plus weird legal caste system that leaves the host population wide open and unprotected from attacks. And that's it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing for us is like we have to realize that we're not going to be, you know, the system is no longer ours. And so we have to adopt, you know, you have to adopt patriarchy over your own family. You have to protect your family. No one else is going to. You have to protect your wife. You have to protect your children. No one else is going to, you know, local economy. No big billionaire is going to come and save your local, like you have to build your local economy. And then tribal institutions. You know, you have to build your tribal institutions. There's no Donald coming to save you. There's no Peter Thiel coming to bankroll you. It's like you have to go do it. You and a bunch of mates have to get together and start protecting your family, start protecting your local area, and start protecting your tribe. You've got to do it. And that's where life gets incredibly exciting. Like, why do we play computer games? We play computer games because you get to build stuff with a bunch of bros, have some tribalism, have some nationalism, have some masculinity. It's like, now do it for real. Like, now do it for real. It's incredibly exciting. The only thing that's easier in computer games is that there's no risk and time compression. You know, we are so short on time preference. You know, there's like, who cares if your institution takes 50 years to succeed? At least then your children inherit imagine your parents had started building a BlackRock. You know, imagine your dad got together with four other buddies and they had barbecues once a week where they discussed what property they were going to buy next. You know, and it's like, oh, they didn't do too well. And, you know, they only bought four or five properties over 20 years. And it's like, well, now you've got an institution with four or five properties that are worth how many millions of dollars? It's like, you cannot disparage the small beginnings. You know, you've got to be like, yeah, small beginnings are great because then my children will inherit, you know, what, because that's our problem right now. We're living in a place where like for so many civilizationally, we have been disinherited, you know, and we're starting from zero. We've got to start. Fëanor, steampunk is for nerds, but the based nerds. Andrew, cup dependency from global homo, including banking. And that's a huge one. You know, that's the kind of opiate of the masses, especially consumer loans, you know. Don't get me started on university loans. My goodness. It's the opiate of women. yeah, you know, exactly that. Exactly that. But banking, you know, and here's the thing. Banking is not evil. You know, for a bunch of dudes to put money in together to go and do stuff, that's wonderful, wonderful thing. It's usuriousness toward your own people. That's the problem. You know, it's absolutely screwing your own people. And it's like, okay, we need our own banks that don't usuriously screw our own people. We're going to have to be clever about it because, you know, we don't want to end up suicided or whatever. Fëanor, world's leaders are not senile of Illuminati. France 24 headline right now. Can they make any more obvious? And even there, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, can we control any of this? You know, anytime, you know, I'm forced to see a headline or forced to see a bit of news, it's like, how do you turn this around and bring it back to your people? How do you turn around and bring it back to serving your people? You know, and it's like, oh, the Illuminati, oh, you should see what a couple of my mates and I are doing. Well, you won't because it's going to be secret. Drongo. Right. Identity is available as a PDF on those Russian PDF sites and as an EPUB for the phone. Fëanor, coloreds in South Africa are also very based. I spoke to a colored lady who told some of the most right-wing things I've ever heard. So the coloreds are in a great perspective. Just for all of you who don't know, the coloreds are the mixed race population in South Africa who are their own tribe now. They're their own culture. They speak Afrikaans. And they're a mix between probably like, I'd say 40% Muslim and like 60% Christian, but they're incredibly based. And because they're not white, they're incredibly racist. They're just a phenomenally culturally tight people. Copperstar, there's a joke around here that Mormons are what happens if the Amish got lost in the desert and went insane. Very good. Just no horse and buggy. I suppose that's the insane part. Alan, there's a trap to be avoided. If usurious lending is sinful, then not only can Christians not practice it, but they can't allow others to practice it either. Religious and ethical pluralism is at fault. This idea that the law of God only applies to Christians is an evil deception. Very good. That's very good. Yeah, that's it. You know, and again, you know, we build our own moral law for our people, and then we apply it. You know, we go and apply it. You know, so it's like, no, you don't come and commit usury in my, you do usury to my family, I apply retribution. You know, you do usury to my local area, to my tribe, you know, there will be pushback. There will be reciprocity, as it were. Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, it's been a fun day. I originally thought I would read some de Tocqueville to us, but we got venting instead. So I will save de Tocqueville for another day. Yeah, so in all of this, be encouraged. Really make, you know, and it's hard, chaps. It's hard to stop following people who might be friendly or muting people or whatever, but it's like you cannot afford to have news constantly put into your timeline. You cannot afford to constantly be reading news, to be on the outrage machine. You've got to curate what well you are drinking from, what vision you are drinking from. And then second of all, you know, for a lot of you guys who are in tough spots, you know, either tough spots with relationships or economy or you know, whatever spots we're in, a positive vision will get us out of victimhood. A positive vision will get us out of nihilism, out of despair. You know, we've got to have a positive vision. What is the best case scenario for my family, for my future of my family? You know, what is the best case scenario for my local area? What is the best case scenario for my tribe? And, you know, this is where doubt and the haters start coming in and be like, you know, who the heck are you to achieve this positive vision? Who the heck are you to bloody fly? You're a bird. I tell you, I'm going to crap on you like a pigeon from a 12th story building. I was like, you know, it doesn't matter, chaps. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter how we're going to get there. The point is that's where we're facing. That's where we're going to go. You know, we're going, here's the vision for my family. Here's the vision for my local area. Here's the vision for my tribe. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I have a vision. That destroys nihilism. It destroys despair. You know, any man can sacrifice for the vision of what his children's children are going to do. You know, any man can sacrifice for the thought of what his forefathers are thinking of him now. You know, what a great decision-making metric for a vision. You know, what do my forefathers think about me? And what are my great-grandchildren are going to inherit? You know, we have to have that positive vision. And then you look at the Amish, you know, and it's like they don't have any big shot diplomats or any big shot tycoons or billionaires or like astronaut, physicist, rocket scientist, Nobel laureates. And it doesn't matter. None of the applause of the world, none of the success of the world matters to these people because they have their own people. They have their own patriarchal families. They have their own local economies. They have their own tribal institutions. And my God, does it look exciting. John, Democracy in America is an outstanding read. That Frenchman got something right, let me tell you. Alan, the Amish will sell lawnmowers and other items at 1% to 2% interest rates and feel guilty about it. Copstar, Twitter has tried to do what the DR in fighting. What? Wait, read this again. Oh, Twitter has tried to do that with DR infighting lately. DR, dark right, death reich. What are we talking about here, Copstar? Well, gentlemen, I certainly have had a fun afternoon with all of you. Appreciate you all in the chat. We'll see you all tomorrow. Drongo, the dank. Right. This basement is dank. So we'll see you all tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Frankly, I'm quite white pilled. I'm quite excited about life. I'm quite excited about the next, 2022, 8 years. Agenda 2030, boys. Agenda 2030. We have our own. Ah, thank you, Copstar, the dissident, right? You see, I'm ADIQ when it comes to the nomenclature of this sort of things. I could have just said doctor. Thank you, doctor. Well, praise God, boys. Love you all. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good evening.